And as the kids are going out, will you join me in a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we think of that thought of and the experience of being overwhelmed in your presence, Lord, it's in that moment where we take the cares and concerns that we carry, and Lord, they are often just dwarfed in your presence. Lord, we see your strength and we see your power to deal with whatever it is that we're carrying. Lord, I just pray that today, that I pray especially for the person, Lord, today that is very much aware of feeling weak. Lord, or feeling, Lord, just the lack of strength to face what they might be currently facing in life. Lord, I just pray that today that we each would find encouragement in knowing that you desire to be our strength and our song. And Lord, that we can put not only our hope and our trust in you, but Lord, when we trust you, your strength can work through us. And we just pray that that would be a reality for each of us this day, Lord, as we rely on your strength, not only for salvation, but to just face life each day and to serve you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, not sure if that was a cue. You know, today, looking back at the last week, many of you know that I had a birthday. I think Ken Hahn made the comment in his post. I had over 100 posts, and he was the one that stood out, said, "I'm halfway through middle age." So at 45, I definitely not feeling like I did 10 years ago. But, you know, Jana gave me a hard time because I messaged her. I took some time off on Tuesday. It was before we left for Clearfield for the funeral for our family this week. But I had taken Katie was off from school, and Bryce was in the Dominican, so I had taken some time off. And I decided, I'd been thinking about starting a new exercise program, and I thought, well, this would be a good day to do the fitness test. And I did the fitness test. I finished the fitness test, kind of. I'm not sure. I'm just glad it's not a pass-fail. It's just a measurement, a benchmark where I was at. But I kept thinking to myself, "Is what does it mean if I pass out during the fitness test?" Because I was very much aware that at 45, the things I was trying to do probably did not look very coordinated. And was definitely a challenge. Not that at 35, it probably would have been a little easier. You know, as we get older, I'm well aware of the fact that our strength starts to lose. We start losing some of that strength as we get older, especially if we're not regularly exercising and taking care of ourselves. But, you know, as I was thinking about that experience and then reading through a number of scriptures in preparation for this weekend, I ran across an account, and these scriptures will not be on the screen. I just want to share the story. But many of you know Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were entrusted, this is after the Exodus, after God delivers his people from Egypt, and they get to the edge of the promised land, and God has Moses send out 12 spies into the promised land to check out the land that God had promised. Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 that came back with the report saying, "Not only is it everything that God promised, let's go, we can take the land." The other 10 spies talked about the people that lived there and described them as giants and were fearful and said, "How could God lead us to this place and give us this promised land and then just leave us to where we're not going to be able to take it?" And there was a lack of confidence in the 10, but Joshua and Caleb were confident. They were confident that they could go and receive what God was giving them in the promised land. You know the rest. If you don't know the rest of that story, you can go back to look at Numbers 13 and 14. That's if you want to read that. But that account, it follows then with God's judgment on his people. I mean, you think about what God has already done for his people, delivered them out of Egypt, and all the miracles that you see in the story of how God delivered his people, with the climax being the delivery through the Red Sea and seeing the greatest army at that time being destroyed in the Red Sea. They've seen God's strength. They've seen God's power at work, and yet now they stand at the edge of the promise, and they're not willing to move forward. The judgment of that was 40 years, representing the 40 days that the spies were in the land. They would then have 40 years of waiting, and only Joshua and Caleb would be the ones that would actually enter into the promised land. as a reward. But you know, that account is followed up in Joshua 14, 40 years later. Caleb goes to Joshua. Joshua now is in charge of Israel. And Caleb goes to Joshua, and there, this is in that part of Joshua that sometimes you might read real, if you're reading through that section, you might read real quickly through it because they're divvying up the land. And it comes to the place where Caleb is asking for his portion of the land where he and his family will settle. And I love this. It says in verse 11, you got to, again, picture Joshua and Caleb are probably, I mean, they're not only friends, their fellow soldiers. And you can picture that in these words. He says in verse Joshua 14:11, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is my strength was then, for war and for both coming and going." Now, for me, you got to picture this. This is, picture Sylvester Stallone, not the early Rocky I film. Picture Sylvester Stallone now getting ready to make Rocky 10 or whatever it might be. And uttering these words to his friend, saying, "I'm still as strong today as I was on the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for both coming and going." Caleb, he's not diminished in his confidence and his strength. And I do believe he has some confidence in his own physical strength. And yet, if we keep reading in that section, we see where his source of strength really comes from. It says in verse 12, "So now give me this hill country in which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." I do believe Caleb has some confidence in his own muscle, his own strength as a soldier, but his real confidence comes in those words in verse 12. That even though this race of people, and this would be the Anakim or those that we see in the David and Goliath story, the Goliath, they're described as giants in the land. Even though it appears like there are giants in the land, this land that Caleb is claiming, he's like, if the Lord's with me, we're good. That if the Lord will be with me, I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Caleb had an incredible confidence, not just in his own strength, but he had confidence, even going back to Joshua and Caleb's confidence compared to the other spies, they were confident in God's presence and confident in God's strength for them if God was with them. Now, I want us to think today, we're talking as we're working through the series, the God Is series, and looking at the different aspects of who God is, because this is critical, again, the summary of this series and why we're doing this, is that as we get a picture for who God really is, it shapes not only our view of God and what we believe, it shapes the way that we live our lives. Caleb and Joshua had such a confidence of God and his strength that it impacted the decisions that they made. They had confidence not in just in their own strength and ability. They had confidence that if God was with them, God's strength would be with them. When we think about this idea of God's strength, what we're talking about is not just physical strength. It's this inner resolve. It's an inner resolve or the physical ability to accomplish an endeavor. Influence an outcome or prevail in a conflict. It's that we have what we need to get something done. Whether it's physical exertion or emotional exertion, mental, it's this inner resolve that we're gonna get things done. We see throughout the scriptures that God is described as being a source of strength for his people. Again and again. Not only for Caleb, we see it for Joshua, we see throughout the scriptures, we see God has promised not only that he is strong, but that for his people, he demonstrates his strength through them. As we think about Joshua, as we think about Caleb, and as we think about this idea of God being our strength today, I want to ask you, are we personally, are we confident in God's strength? Not just believing that God is strong, but are we personally trusting and experiencing God's strength in our life? See the difference? It's one thing for me to stand here and say, do you believe that God is strong? That God can accomplish whatever he wants? That's truth, but it's not permeated your life. When we say that God is my strength, we're not just saying that God is strong. We're saying that we're relying on his strength. We're trusting his strength, and we're experiencing his strength in our life. So that's the question today, and I just want us to think about this shift from what we say we believe to actually experiencing this truth of God being our strength. You know, throughout the church history, we sing about God's strength. Some of you maybe grew up singing the hymn that we did this morning. I suspect that some of you haven't, but the old Martin Luther hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." I just want to read some of the words of the second verse there. It says, "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing." If we rely on our own strength, it's a losing battle. But goes on to say that if we're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, thus ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is he. Modern translation, because God sent his son Jesus, it's in Jesus that we can find that strength. That we have confidence, not in our own strength. If we rely on our own strength, we're losing. But if we rely on Christ, there's strength for victory. More modern song that we often sing, "Everlasting God" by Chris Tomlin. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And we will wait upon the Lord. And that idea of waiting is the idea of trusting. One of my favorite hymns, and one of probably your favorite hymns as well, "Great is thy faithfulness." There's a line that just kept going through my mind yesterday and this morning. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. That phrase, that God will give us the strength we need for today, strength for today, is not just celebrating the fact that God is strong, but is celebrating the fact that God lends us his own strength to face whatever it is that we face in our day. That not only is God mighty to save, but his strength is enough to help us face life, and his strength is enough to empower us to do whatever he calls us to do. I want to ask you again, are you confident in God's strength? Not just believing God is strong, but personally trusting in God's strength and in your own experience of his strength. A few questions as we dive into the scriptures. Do you trust God's strength to save? We celebrate Christ as Savior. Part of that is celebrating that truth that God is mighty to save, and that through Christ we can put our faith and trust in him as a Savior. Do you trust God's strength to face each day? I know some of you are going through some really cruddy times right now. I want to ask you, are you leaning in on his strength? Are you relying on God's strength to face whatever it is that you're facing? Do you trust God's strength for service, to do whatever he calls you to do? Some of you are here and you sense God might be calling you to do something, and you just think, well, I could never do that. Not confident. I don't have the ability to do that. If that's what you think, you're at a good place to let God use you. And we'll talk more about that a little later. But let's look at what God's word says. God's word gives us not only the story of Caleb and Joshua and their demonstration of someone who trusted in God's strength, but throughout the Psalms, we have that phrase, a phrase again and again, the idea that God is my strength. God is my strength and my song. And that phrase, God is my strength and song, goes back to Exodus 15. This is going before Caleb in the account we just talked about earlier. But Caleb and Joshua would have been there for this. Picture yourself, and if you've seen any of the movies that give the picture of Israel crossing the Red Sea, and they get to the other side, and the walls of water come down, crashing down on top of the chariots and on top of the Egyptian army. In chapter 15, in that moment, you see Moses and his people singing a song of victory. And it's a song that celebrates God's strength. Exodus 15, 1 through 2 says, "Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." Any of you know the song? Grow up singing the song in those words? I'm not going to sing it for you. That's been the other song going through my head. Picture that. Joshua, Caleb, Moses, all the Israelites were there. They not only saw God demonstrate the plagues and all the things in getting Pharaoh to finally release them, but if there's any doubt in anyone's mind that Yahweh is truly God, in that moment, I would say they were pretty confident as they're singing, not only celebrating God's strength, but they're singing a song of victory. And that's, I love this picture of God being our strength and our song, tying the song and celebrating God's strength together. It's kind of like what we celebrate our football teams or different sports teams, and often we have a song that celebrates their strength. I don't know if Cleveland have a strong song like that, but they could work on that. But maybe that's what's needed. I don't know. But Bryce obviously is a soccer player. We watch a lot more soccer, and I'm always amazed at the energy that they sing. I mean, it's a different experience when you watch the European soccer games because they're singing. They're singing and they're celebrating their teams and they're celebrating their strength. And there's something about being able to not only declare something about someone's strength, but put it into words and song of celebration. These are words that all of Israel from this day forward would remember and sing these words, celebrating God's deliverance. Psalm 118:14, we see, again, anytime throughout the Psalms, when the word, my strength and my song, is shared in a psalm, it's pointing back, pointing Israel and pointing each of us back to Exodus. And that picture of Israel celebrating God's salvation and deliverance of his people. Psalm 118:14 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Isaiah 12:1-2, again, this is what we read in our call to worship. This is a future. I mean, the Exodus passage, we look back and celebrate God's salvation. We look back and celebrate the fact that he is our strength and our song. Isaiah 12:1-2 in this whole chapter is looking forward and is a picture of Christ and the salvation we find in him. It says, you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Incredible place in that passage is not only Isaiah would have been well aware of those words that we just read from Exodus and celebrating God's salvation and deliverance of his people. And he's now sharing God's word and this prophetic word of pointing to the God's salvation that would come in Jesus. God is our strength and our song. And you know, we read throughout these passages, there's something I want to point out, and it's a short little word that I think helps us understand this, how we really apply this. Look at Psalm 28:7-8. And I want you, if you have your Bible open, underline every time you see the word my. You know, sometimes we think that's like if too much of the I or my, that's egotistical or something, and yet, I think this is helpful for us to look at this in these words. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him, my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exalts and with my song, I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. The idea is we're not just celebrating God's strength. When we say that we're celebrating God as my strength, as our strength, we're claiming that we are personally trusting and experiencing God's strength. Anytime you see that through the Psalms, whether it's David or any of the other Psalms, when they would refer to God as my refuge, my help, my strength, they're making that not only a statement, but they're reminding themselves of the confidence they have that they are choosing to trust God in his strength, choosing to trust God as a help, choosing to trust God as Savior. I want to ask you today, are you personally trusting and experiencing God's strength in this way? Are you trusting? Are you relying on him? I want you to think back again. Think about Joshua, Caleb, Moses, and all of God's people following the Exodus. The water is still wavy from crashing in on the Egyptian army. And think for a moment in that time than later. All of them experienced God's strength. They experienced God's power in a way that none of us can really say we ever witnessed or experienced. And yet, only Joshua and Caleb had the confidence when they faced the next challenge to move forward, knowing that God is strong, and that if God can demonstrate his strength in the past to save, he can demonstrate his strength in the future to do what he has promised. There's something about Joshua and Caleb that reminds us of the importance of making that choice to say, I'm going to personally trust God's strength, rely on his strength, depend upon his strength, to move forward whatever God calls us to do. So what I'd like us to do, we're going to look at three things. And this is more, we're going to look at scripture, but we're going to ask some questions to help you apply this to your own life. When we look throughout the scripture and this idea of God being our strength, we see first that God's strength demonstrates his strength to save. And this flows right out of the Exodus passage. It flows right out of the Isaiah 12 passage we just looked at, that God has the power to save. We sing the song that God is mighty to save. And we celebrate as followers of Christ that he has demonstrated this in the person of Christ. That Jesus did everything that was necessary for us to be saved, for us to be forgiven, for us to be restored to relationship with God. He has the power. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And in Christ, we can celebrate the life that Christ gives us. I love in Revelation 15, we have another song being sung. And it's, again, that picture of Christ and his salvation. But in Revelation 15:3, you see a marriage between this Exodus passage that we read and the work of Christ. It says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, being Jesus, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. If we're going to trust God's strength, the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, are we trusting God's strength to save? Every one of us have to answer that question to say, not only do we believe who Jesus is and what Jesus did on the cross for us, but are we going to depend upon it? Are we going to put our faith in Christ and trust that Jesus has the power to save us? To save us from our sin, to restore us to a relationship with God that we were created to experience. So the question for each of us today, the first question, is have you personally put your faith in Jesus Christ, trusting him as Savior? Everything else that we're going to talk about is built on that foundation. Because once you enter into a relationship with Christ, then you unlock God's power to be working in and through our life to not only have the power and the strength that we need for living each day, but then to unleash his power in our life to do whatever he calls us to do. But if you're here today and you're not sure you've ever made that first step, you have to make the choice. Not just say, yeah, I believe Christ is strong to save, but I believe that he is my Savior and I'm going to trust him. We see also that God, not only is God strong to save, but there's God's strength for the living. God's strength for living. I bet this is probably some of you probably have these next words as one of your favorite sections of scripture. Isaiah 40, 30 through 31 says, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This idea of waiting for the Lord is again, putting your trust in him. It's the idea of putting hope in him. Counting on the Lord to renew our strength. And that incredible picture of mounting up with wings like eagles and running and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a picture of the strength that God wants to give us when we wait upon him and we trust him and we put our hope in him. Paul writes in Ephesians 3:16, he says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. There's a lot going on here. There's not only is God giving us his Spirit, which is what gives us power, but he's strengthening our inner being to be able to, in a sense, hold God's Spirit within our life. And it's like God strengthens us, like the words here, the idea that he's strengthening us. It's like he's strengthening the wall so that we can hold more of God in our life so that his power can be at work in us. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Philippians 4:13, and I always have to say this is specifically talking about having the strength to be able to be content in whatever your circumstances, whether you have a lot or whether you have a little. But what we don't want to overlook in this passage is it's very clear that Christ is our source of strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him, Jesus. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Christ and his spirit comes into the believer's life. He comes not only to save us, he comes to live in us. And it's his presence in us that allows us to experience his strength. To where we don't have to rely on our own resources, our own strength to face each day. We have the very strength of Christ, the very strength of God's Spirit in our life that we can rely on, that we can depend on. But you know, throughout my life as a pastor, and I've been guilty of this too in my own life, I talk to people that at times they say, you know, I just don't sense God's strength. I just don't sense any power to really face what I'm facing right now. And often I ask, I say, well, what are you doing to stay connected to Christ right now? What spiritual exercise are you doing? Because again, the confidence we have in God's strength is a confidence that flows out of a relationship. It flows out of a relationship where we are directly connected to God as a life source. John 15, that whole section, talks about the idea of abiding in Christ, that he is the vine and we're the branches. And he says in John 15 that Jesus says, apart from me, you can do, is it some things? No. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That connection is critical. And when we talk about spiritual exercise, we have to ask ourselves, if you're here, and I've been there, where I wasn't sensing God's strength, wasn't sensing God's power at work in my life, I had to take a step back and say, am I maintaining the connection to Jesus? Am I maintaining a connection to God's Spirit so that God's Spirit and his power can be at work in me and through me? I want to ask you, are you exercising spiritually? There's a list of questions here on the screen. Are you regularly connecting with God? Are you daily opening up God's word to read his word? Are you daily entering into times of prayer with him? Are you maintaining that prayer throughout the day? Are you walking in obedience? There is no surer way to kill that connection than if you choose to walk in disobedience to what you know God is calling you to do. Are you daily inviting God's Spirit to be working in your life? And the only way you can do that is to surrender. To say, my life is yours. Invite God's Spirit to fill you. Invite God's Spirit to fill you and to use you. And in that, the last question, are you depending on his Spirit? Are you surrendering daily to the Spirit? Are you depending on his Spirit, inviting God's Spirit to working through you? And are you maintaining that most vital connection with God? Being in his word, being in prayer, and just listening for his Spirit's voice in your life. If you want strength for living today, you need to be connecting to a power source. And God's Spirit, God desires through his presence to be all that we need to face whatever it is that we're facing. We also see not only is God mighty to save, God gives us the strength we need to face each day. But we also see that God gives us the strength for service. Every one of us, God has something that he wants you to do for his kingdom. Every one of us has something that God has created you to do. And when you come to faith in Christ, Ephesians 2 tells us that we are created for the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. There are things that he wants us to do, and some of us, we approach the idea of service and the idea of serving Christ. Some of us are thinking, oh, yeah, let me at him. I got lots to give. And you can list, you can confidently say, oh, yeah, I'm smart. I'm this, I'm that. Start sounding like some politicians of just listing off all of our great things about who we are. And there's a lack of humility in that. And the danger in that is if you think that you're God's gift to the church or God's gift to everyone else, and thinking that it's going to be you that makes the difference, you're really in an unhealthy place for service. God gives us great gifts. God gives us, every one of us has gifts and abilities that we can give. And giving those back to God is part of our worship. But we all have to come to the place that we understand that no matter what we give, it's never enough. We need God's strength to be working in us and through us. And so we have to be in that place of humility that we understand our own weaknesses, our own limitations, but then make ourselves available to God, like the old hymn, if you grew up singing in the Alliance, channels only. We become a channel for God's power to be working in us and through us when we just make ourselves available to Him. We need to ask ourselves, are we serving in our own strength or in God's strength? I want to look at two passages of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10, Paul writes, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" 1 Corinthians 1:25 through 27. Again, Paul's words, he says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." Whatever we give to God, they're gifts that God gave us already. If we're born with a gift and an ability that we give back to Him, it was His gift to give. But there's a healthy place that we come to God recognizing that no matter what we give, it's never enough. But we just need to make our lives available to Him so that He can be working in us and through us. Those questions are focused on the person who might be serving or in the process of serving and making sure that we're relying on God's strength and not our own. But there are many of you here maybe that are struggling saying, you know, I don't have a place that I'm serving. And maybe you have reasons that you list for why you're not serving. And the question, this second set of questions are for you. What keeps you from serving? What's the first excuse that you give or the first thing that comes to your mind of why you can't serve? Why you can't do something for God? What area of weakness might be an opportunity for God to demonstrate His strength? Very possible that area of weakness that you identify might be the very source that God wants to use to demonstrate His strength through your life. And instead of letting that be something that you lift up as a weakness, give it to God and let His power work through it to demonstrate so that you can demonstrate God's strength in your life, that God will demonstrate His strength through that area of weakness in your life. And like Paul, you can say that it's in weakness that you see Christ and His strength. I want to read a quote from A.W. Tozer that I think sums both of these two questions together. He says, "We can never get too weak for the Lord to use us, but we can get too strong. If it is our own strength," let me say that again, "we can never get too weak for the Lord to use us, but we can get too strong if it is our own strength. We can never be too ignorant for the Lord to use us, but we can be too wise in our own conceit. We can never get too small for the Lord to use us, but we can surely get too big and get in His way." Whatever it is that God is calling you to do, whatever that excuse is that you're thinking, I have nothing to give, you're in the perfect place for God to demonstrate His strength through you. But you just have to make yourselves available to Him. You have to be willing to say, okay, Jesus, here I am. Use me. But if you're here and you've been serving, I want to ask you, are you serving in your strength or are you serving in His strength? Are you relying on the strength that He desires to give? And is what you do in ministry and what you do in service, is it flowing out of your connection with Jesus? I have a few things I was going to share in closing, but I'm just going to skip to the very end. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. The song that I think many of you know, but God is my rock. And I want to read these words, and I just want to encourage you that if God has been speaking to you, as the worship team closes us today, that don't leave today without finishing whatever work God is doing in your heart, in your life. If God has been speaking to you, the altar is always open. You can talk to me, one of the leaders here. The key thing is if God has been speaking to you and encouraging you to trust His strength, whether it's an issue of just facing a difficult situation you're in right now or whether it's that God is wanting you to do something for Him and you have to trust His strength, I want to encourage you to take that step of faith today. The words of the song that we're going to sing in closing says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, I will look to you alone. God, my rock. God, my rock. You will stand when others fall. You are faithful through it all. God, my rock. In the blessing, in the pain, through it all, you've never failed me. You are the strength of my heart. You are the strength of my heart. I can rely on you. I can rely on you." Will you pray with me as the worship team comes? Lord, I just pray today, especially for the person that is really just challenged and facing a lot of difficulties, and Lord, just knows that they need your strength and your presence in their lives. Lord, I just pray that you would just be speaking to them even now. May your Holy Spirit just be moving in their heart and their lives. And may they just open up the door, Lord, open up their lives and surrender, that your Spirit might be free to work in them and through them. Lord, I pray for the person that's been hesitant to serve or hesitant to leap, to step up, to do something for you because they don't feel they have anything to give. Lord, I just pray that today that you would make very clear not only what you want them to do, but that you would lead them to that place that they can rely on your strength. And Lord, we just pray that as a church, that we would be a church that people, when they look at us, would say that there is something different about us because your Spirit is working in and through our lives. Lord, I just pray even now as we close in this song, Lord, that we invite your Holy Spirit to be ministering, to speak to each one of us. And may we be faithful to respond to whatever you call us to today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.